Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Pensacola, Florida, it's time for Pensacola Business Radio. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. This is Keith over here, Pensacola Business Radio, and I am very proud to bring you this next guest because we have just hit it off. We are 10 minutes late because we've been sitting here hanging out talking. I have across the table from me, Action Jackson. And here you are. So, speaker, author, motivational person, and so far, just a really good soul, as far as I could tell.
Thank you.
So, let's start at the beginning.
Yes.
I mean, you're here to talk about the E3 conference, and we'll kind of get into that, but let's let people know who you are.
Well, as you just said, I am Letitia Action Jackson, and I'm a 2008 Fitness Olympian champion. I am a motivational speaker, author, but more importantly,
is that all? Is that it?
Well, I've been featured in over 15 health and fitness magazines, including Muscle and Fitness Hers, Oxygen, Flex Magazine. I was ranked number 3 in the world in 2008. I was ranked 8th in the Fitness Olympia.
Yeah.
So I've done a lot of amazing things.
And you're a veteran too, right?
I am a veteran of the United States Air Force.
Yeah.
Yes. Go Air Force.
That's it. I got a couple Army guys down the hall. I might have something to say against that,
but that's okay. Mission ready. That's all that we do.
I'm sure they know those words too.
Mission ready. And you know, Keith, although I've done all those amazing things, I would have to say to you that the most important thing to me is being a voice for women and girls. And you and I have spent the last 15 minutes really diving into the current trends of body awareness and self-esteem issues with women and girls.
Yeah.
And although I've done all those amazing things, my heart and my passion at this point in life is to really be a voice for those that don't have their own voice.
Yeah. Well, and we were talking, and I have 2 daughters, so this means a lot to me and to some of what we were talking about. And I think the main subject of your book, which is I'm not a size 0, I'm a size healthy,
yes,
which we discussed was a great title, is really sort of redefining what it is for the younger generation and even women today to know what beauty should really be, or that beauty should completely be taken out because it's not about that.
Absolutely. And as you and I were speaking, I wrote I'm not a size 0, I'm a size healthy from my own experience of domestic violence. And many times when I share my story, people say to me, but look at you. You know, the world often tells women if you have the perfect body, if you have a 6-pack abs, if you have nice glutes, then basically you have arrived. And excuse me, as I told you before, I've been in magazines in the United States and in Europe. And regardless of how many times I was featured in a magazine, when the photo shoot was over or when the stage lights went off, inside as a woman, I never felt good enough. So in essence, I was chasing that illusion, thinking if I had the perfect body and had the perfect looks, then everything would be okay. And that is not the truth.
Yeah. So what did you come to find?
After I went through my domestic violence situation, I had to really look at myself as a woman and having to separate myself from the degrees, from the accolades, from the body. You know, you stand on a stage in front of thousands of people and you win trophies for having the perfect body.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought into that thing just like many women and girls do. I have this beautiful body. I have all of these degrees. I have all the things that the world tells me makes me successful.
Yeah.
But the reality was I had rejection issues. I was a perfectionist. And all the things that I did was out of a desire to feel worthy. I shared with you that my father left at a very young age. And unfortunately, his leaving, I internalized it. I thought if I was good enough, he would maybe come back. Or if I made the perfect grade, he'd come back. And I somehow took him leaving and I put it upon myself.
Sure.
And myself, and there's millions of other women out there that have experienced what I went through, but some of them really expressed themselves through shopping, or maybe some of them through bad relationships, or maybe through their jobs or their work, and they're chasing an illusion.
Yeah.
So after I left my divorce, I had to get real with myself, not the athlete, not the scholar, not the business owner, but myself as a woman. And the reality was I didn't love myself.
That's hard, huh?
Oh my
gosh.
That's
a hard thing to face, isn't it? Were you like, oh man, that's the answer? Oh, I don't like that one.
Yeah. You know? But you know, Keith, if I had not gone through that and I shared this with you, I would have probably done two things. I would have either found myself in a domestic violence situation again, mm-hmm. where someone else killed me, or I would have ended up self-destructing, killing myself.
Yeah.
And that's the realness of my life. And I never want to ever deny what I went through internally just because I look the way that I look.
Yeah.
And so I have made up my mind that I will be as transparent as possible, because young girls look up to me. Women have come to me and say, but you're beautiful. How did you go through that? And my message is, domestic violence does not discriminate.
Yeah, sure.
It doesn't. Low self-esteem does not discriminate. So regardless of how much makeup a woman puts on or how much money she makes, unless she strips away all of those things and gets honest with herself, she's never going to be good enough.
Yeah. Okay. So did you ever get the response of, well, of course, you already have all of those things, so it's easy for you to say?
Absolutely. When I speak to women, the first thing they say to me is, but look at you.
Yeah.
And a part of me is like, wait, you're not hearing me. That is the message that we have been taught since we were little. And you and I were discussing as well, mm-hmm. when girls are little, what do we say to them? You're so pretty, mm-hmm. or you're so beautiful. And so that young girl becomes a teenager, that becomes a woman, and her worth is built on how she looks. So when you look a certain way and it doesn't line up with what you've been taught,
right.
there's conflict. But you've always told me if I was pretty, I would get the job.
Sure.
You always told me if I was pretty, I'd get the perfect relationship. It doesn't add up.
Yeah.
So for me, I once again, there were many of times I cried myself to sleep. I had to get honest with myself and ask myself, why do you have so much pain? Why is it so important for you to be perfect? And the reality was, I wanted to feel good about myself. And that's all I knew was an athlete, was a scholar, mm-hmm. because I could manipulate those things.
Sure. You had control.
I can control.
Yeah.
I couldn't control my father leaving, but I can control the perfection of my body. I can control the perfection of my grades. I can control where my career goes. But when I let all of that control go, I had to really say, you're not in control.
Yeah.
You're out of control.
Yeah. Scary. Scary moment.
Yes. And maybe there's some women out there today that's listening, and inside that voice tells you that you really don't know who you are. You know, you can be in a room full of people, but yet you still feel empty.
Yeah.
Because you're using the outside of what you've created to validate you.
Wow.
Pretty deep, huh?
Yeah, it's really deep, but that's awesome, because I think you're right. I think so many people are going through this, especially over the last, for me, that I've seen over the last year or so. And even with the kids, but a lot of them they're going through this and trying to really figure out who they are, as well as not allowing society to really define everything. But as you're saying, that's so hard to do because it has been so ingrained. You had to purge pretty much every scary moment of your life onto a piece of paper.
Yeah, yeah. And I'll be honest with you, when I got out of my domestic violence situation, the biggest fear that I had was being labeled.
Yeah.
You're now, sure. You're a victim of domestic violence.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I made a conscious effort was that I was going to forgive my ex-husband, because that old cliche, hurting people hurt people. Mm-hmm. I refused to be a victim. I acknowledged my role in it for marrying someone. And I saw the signs.
Sure.
I acknowledged my part. I forgave him. But what I realized was if I was not going to become a victim, I had to share my story.
Yeah.
And I remember sharing with you how I felt ashamed. There was almost a dirtiness. I felt everywhere I went, people knew that I was a domestic violence, you know, victim.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, I've never been anyone's victim. So I refuse to allow this situation to define me.
Well, and I think you just hit on probably the hardest thing, too, is you have to forgive yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, I've met women that are overweight and they share their stories, and many of them have been molested. Many of them have had very bad things happen to them. And anytime you're in that victim role, when you allow yourself to believe that you are the culprit or the reasoning why it happens, oftentimes you blame yourself, and blame never gets you anywhere. So I had to acknowledge, and all the women that are hearing me today, whether it's domestic violence, whether it was molestation or rape, you are not to blame. Acknowledge it and find somewhere to heal. Find somewhere where you can purge yourself.
Yeah.
Because isn't that purging where I found healing? It was in writing, in the book that I wrote for mm-hmm. other women. as I wrote on those pages, I was writing about myself, but yet I was writing about the woman I never met mm-hmm. that was going through the very same thing that I went through.
Yeah. And we talked about this earlier, but I want you to talk about it again, because you mentioned a couple of things in this process that where the universe, which I love so much, puts lights on your path. And yeah. so you were saying that all of these people were finding you, all of these women were finding you, these just random out of the blue, you know, you had that notion or you heard the voice and you said, let me ask this person how their day is going, or elaborate, because I think it's beautiful. I think those are all of the mysterious things of life that start connecting things. And the next thing you know, here you are.
Yeah. You and I actually had a really good talk. We were running a little late. What he's referring to is after I left my domestic violence situation, I clearly heard my creator say, write a book.
Yeah.
And because of the shame and because of the fear of allowing people to really see who I was outside of that facade mm-hmm. that I created for so many years, I heard the voice, I heard the leading, but I did not acknowledge it. I kind of felt like I was angry. Mm-hmm. And because I'm angry, I'm not doing anything about it. And I would go to certain places, and I was sharing with you one day, I went to a fruit stand, and the young lady behind the counter was pretty much in a pretty bad mood. And I'm human, and a part of me was like, wow, why is she being rude? This is her job. Mm-hmm. And a small voice inside of me said, ask her how her day is going. And I was thinking, okay, I'm going to lead and go. And so I said, ma'am, how's your day? And this lady just starts to cry. She says, my day is going horrible. I'm trying to raise money to get out of my boyfriend's house. He's beating me. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh my gosh. So up until this point, I had not shared my story with anyone. Yeah. And at that moment, I knew if I had not said something to her to let her know I've been there, you can get out.
Right.
I knew that my life was saved for a reason. And for that very moment, it was for me to encourage her to get out. And I gave her numbers, you know, of domestic violence hotlines. And she and I, we stayed in contact for about a good 2 or 3 months. But that was the first sign that I was created to do what I'm doing. And regardless of all the pain that I had to go through, the pain really wasn't for me. It was for that woman and all the other women that I will eventually meet.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. I do. And again, we should have just recorded our conversation because it was great. But you said it's what you were here created to do. And I think whether man, woman, anyone here, if you really start looking at yourself and trying to figure that part out, it seems to me like a lot more happiness usually ends up heading your way.
Absolutely. And I found, Keith, it was so liberating. It was almost as if I told myself I was not going to be a victim.
Yep.
But by not sharing, whether I realize it or not, I was being a victim to myself, because freedom happens when I can say, this is me. I am Letitia Action Jackson.
God, I'm raising my hand. I'm telling you, this is awesome. Action Jackson. And we'll have to get into that story too. So.
And this is the totality of who I am as a woman.
Yeah.
And I used to believe that I could get rid of that part of me. But you know what? Had I not gone through that, I would not be as effective as I am today.
Sure.
So I don't have any shame anymore. Yeah. I'm liberated. I'm free to come on shows such as this and say, you know what? Yes, I survived and so can you.
Yeah.
That's where power really comes from. And that's what this conference is about. Getting a room full of women together, not putting on a mask. Not pretending that one is better than the other, and not pretending that one story is less than the other, but sharing our stories. That's where we heal. That's where women connect. And we say, wow, you went through that?
Yeah.
I did too.
Yeah.
It's powerful.
It is powerful.
Yeah.
And you know, to an extent, you released a lot of things that you just needed to get off your chest and out into the air. But in that same time, it sounds like you had a lot of growth and acceptance of yourself and who you are, and sort of that, I just don't care. I'm going to do what I need to do. And yeah, it's
exhaled.
That's liberating, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. That's, yeah. I have numerous conversations like this with people in my life about just, you just break the bondage sometimes. And sometimes the bondage is between you and yourself.
Yes. And you know what, Keith, I will tell you, there were so many nights I would find myself just crying.
Yeah.
Because the pain, I don't even think that I could put words to the pain. The pain was so real and I wanted out of it so bad. But here's the reality that I've learned about healing. Healing is a process. And we live in an instantaneous world where everybody wants things mm-hmm. right now. And that's why a lot of women don't do that internal searching. Because if I let go of the titles if I let go of the body issues, if I let go of all of these things, I've got to deal with the root issue of who I really am.
Yeah.
And I will tell you what, it takes years and it takes very, 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 very willingness to say, you know what? I'm bare naked before myself. This is not who I think I am. This is exactly who I am. And what am I going to do about it?
Yeah. And then, yeah, you're right. And then choose to just accept it and okay, I want to work on this, or I don't want to work on that, or I'm okay with this, or I'm not okay with that, and then move forward.
That's right. And for me, I was blessed to be at my sister's home. So having the love of a woman that just embraced me. I mean, there were times where I would just cry and she didn't need a response. She just held me.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes that's all people really want, is just a hug.
Yeah.
To know it's okay in this moment just to be you. All of the tears, all of the runny nose and the snot. And the
I know. I feel you. I know right where you are. I get it. I get it.
You know, you wake up the next morning, you've got puffiness under your eye.
Yeah.
But after all of that crying, all of the searching, I came out so much better. I stand so strong now that it takes a lot to knock me down.
Yeah. Yeah. I think one of the best things I've ever heard, and you can take this and use it.
Thank you.
If you'd like, is that you'll never get it done and you'll never get it wrong because it's all a process.
That's right.
And if crying and just chilling for a minute is the process, then go with it.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And I think as women, and that's why I think that this conference is going to be powerful. I think we want to let our hair down.
Yeah.
The proverbial, you know, let your hair down, but we don't feel safe. Mm-hmm. And so what I do as a woman is I hold all of this stress inside of me, and it affects my health. It affects my relationships. But in essence, I believe every woman wants a place where she can just exhale.
Yeah.
Just for a moment to
I think the whole world wants a place where they can exhale. We're going to leave it to you women to lead the way. Yeah. Please, by all means, I will be in line behind you. I promise.
Okay.
So, all right. Well, let's talk about what you're going to talk about at the conference, because, you know, when I said, okay, so you're the fitness kind of healthy guru, and you were saying it's just more, it's so much more than really just a workout or eating the right food. And as we've been talking, there's a real mental, spiritual piece to this.
Absolutely. One of the things that I try to tell people, and it's so funny, I had someone say to me the other day, I know you. You're the fitness lady.
But do you really know me?
And I think it's really cute, but my message is so much more, because if all I tell a woman is, hey, go work out, or if I tell a woman, well, let me show you how to lose 10 pounds, I've done nothing for her. Those are the superficials. I like to say those are the byproducts. But if I tell a woman, who are you? Or ask a woman, who are you?
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes when I'm in a consult with a client or a potential client, I ask the woman, who are you?
Yeah, what do you mean?
Exactly.
That's the response.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then I hear responses, I'm a mom, I'm a CEO, or I'm a business owner. No, that's what you do.
Right.
Who are you?
Yeah.
How did you get to this point? How are you 50, 60 pounds overweight and unsatisfied with life? And asking questions such as that is very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because now it goes back to that self-reflection. Well, how did I get here?
Yeah. So I'm very curious. How do you dissect yourself in that kind of question? How do those answers play out?
They play out by being honest. They play out with asking open-ended questions.
Yeah.
Who are you? That's not something you can sum up. You can tell me your job. You can tell me what you do from 9 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
But who are you takes months. It takes years. So as a coach, I'm there to start the process. And I challenge my clients. Who are you? And they still leave the session saying, wow.
I don't know. I'm confused kind of thing.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And those were the very questions I had to ask myself. Who are you?
Yeah.
If you ask me that today, I can tell you I'm caring. I'm empathetic. I'm driven. I'm passionate. Those are the interworkings of who I am. I'm faithful. Mm-hmm. I'm trustworthy. Now, the outcomes, I'm an author. I'm a motivational speaker. That's mm-hmm. what I do. But that's not who I am. I'm a sister. I'm a friend. You know, I'm loyal to those who are in my life. Because if we look at the roots of who we are, we can fix everything else. If you're dishonest, or if you're jealous, or if you're envious, if you have all these toxic things that make you who you are, they affect your weight. They affect your health and they affect your life.
Yeah.
So the weight is just a byproduct. It's not the root.
Yeah.
You weren't expecting that, were you?
No, I wasn't. As you can tell, I'm very interested. Well, and like I was telling you too, you know, I spent as so many other people did, but 2015 was a complete deconstructive year where some of those questions really started getting answered. And I think you're with what you talk about and what you teach and what you, there's not enough people hearing it fast enough, to be honest, I think, because when you start getting down to those core things, then the issue doesn't seem so big. Right. I mean, once you make the admittance of what it is, well, then, okay, well, then there's the issue. Let's go fix that.
That's right. That's right.
As opposed to trying to, oh, I'm 60 pounds overweight.
Yeah. You know? I think the weight is a Band-Aid. And I think because for women, we're taught to focus on how we look.
Mm-hmm.
We're not taught as young girls, how's your character? You know, how's your work ethic? How's your honesty? How's your commitment to what you've obligated yourself to? We're not taught intricate things that make us, in the long run, women. And the definition of woman is always based on appearance. So we have to redefine. And there, I mean, we've been hearing these messages for years. I'm almost 38 years old. And everywhere I go, even as a 38-year-old woman, I have to choose very consciously what I allow inside of my internal gate. I watch commercials and it's always either a diet product or a makeup commercial or shoes, or I've never seen a commercial that says, hi, in 30 days, you're going to become one of the most honest and secure and loving people we've ever. No, I mean, come on.
That's usually followed by some pharmaceutical warning,
right,
that your head's going to roll off or something, but it's got a cool dog in the video, right, you know?
And they list all the side effects, but hey, you'll have a heart attack, but at least you'll be in your coffin 15 pounds lighter.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
come on.
Right.
There's no substance to what we hear anymore. And we wonder why we don't want to get up in the morning. This is real talk.
No, I hear you.
We're living without purpose. We're chasing things that at the end of the day have no meaning.
Yeah.
Period. Yeah. You know, and what does it matter if you lost another 5 pounds, but you don't even like yourself now?
Yeah.
If you don't like yourself now, you're not going to like yourself 5 pounds lighter.
Yep.
But you can love yourself enough to lose the 5 pounds as a result of loving you.
Yeah. It's powerful stuff.
Yes.
It's powerful stuff. So, okay. So I do have, if anybody's interested in going to the conference, the website is thepowerofethe3.com, where they can call 850-437-3127. I'm being told there's early bird pricing through the 1st of April. That is not an April Fool's joke. So, and then you are one of, is it 5 or 4 keynotes?
I think there's one keynote, but there are other speakers and I am one of them.
You are, okay.
Yes.
So mm-hmm. there's, okay. So excuse
it's
me.
Okay, Keith.
Excuse me for not knowing the difference. If you all are speaking, you should all be keynotes,
yes,
in my book.
So,
yeah, I know there's financial, there's health, there's fitness, and then the keynote as well.
Yes,
so this should be pretty informative. I know it's targeted for, you know, women 50 and over, but mm-hmm. as I've spoken with some of the other speakers, and as we were speaking, all women in general. I mean, these are just good rules of life.
Yeah. I think the conference itself is targeting 55 and up. However, I believe all of the information that's being provided at the conference is for every woman, you know, because you find yourself going through different seasons as a woman. And I think having the right tools to navigate life is what we need, whether we're 25 or 55.
Yeah. Or 10.
Or even 10. You know, we were talking about that too.
Yeah.
Really redefining how we talk to our young girls. I love speaking with Colleen Edward. We always talk, and we actually talked on the way here. And I was sharing with her, I wrote an article called Redefining the B Word. And the B Word is beautiful. We always tell little girls, you're beautiful. You're mm-hmm. beautiful. So they hear it all the time. And those little girls become teenagers. And those teenagers become women. And when they no longer hear how beautiful they are, they're looking for the affirmation.
Mm-hmm.
So as girls are young, and this is, if you're a mother out there, I want to encourage you, yes, your daughter's beautiful, we know that, but why not speak words of she's strong, she's powerful, mm-hmm. you're creative, you're a thinker. You know, have them go outside and go on treasure hunts. Mm-hmm. Let her develop her critical thinking skills. You know, if she wants to play in the dirt, don't have a fit over where girls don't get dirty. Because what we're doing mm-hmm. unconsciously is framing that little girl's mind to think, well, I'm a girl and I'm fragile. No, you're not fragile. You're strong. And yes, own your sex. You are a female and you mm-hmm. are a young girl, but you can do anything and become anything. And I'm going to give you, as a mother, I think it's important that we give our children those tools early on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when she messes up, say, you know what? Everyone messes up. It's okay. Let's learn how not to do that again.
Yeah.
Teach her the skills that she needs so when she gets older, she's not looking for someone to always affirm her.
Yeah.
That is so important.
Yeah.
So whether she's 5 days old, 10 days old, 10 years old, it starts when they're young. Because then they grow up being women like me, looking for that affirmation, mm-hmm. wanting to show their worth by their degrees or how fit their body is. We can change the status of this world.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
By teaching them to be them.
Be you. You know, yeah. And I was telling you about I when I mentor young girls at yeah. the end of every session, I make each one of them turn their thumbs over. And I tell them, look at your thumbprint. Nobody has those thumbprints. So out of the billions of people in the world, you are so unique. How beautiful yeah. is that, right?
Right. One of a kind.
One of a kind. So sit down with your young girls tonight and point out what makes them so unique. Not what makes them beautiful, what makes them unique.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very powerful. And as a father of two daughters, so you know, there's always the male-female sort of like, oh my goodness, it's two little girls and I'm a boy yeah. and how do I handle it? But those are some very, very wise words for anyone.
That's right. That's right.
To be able to use and turn around and immediately, like today.
That's right.
Go home and start changing the way that they see the world and themselves in this world.
That's right. And I, in my book, it's really funny. So I have what's called 10 Days of Inner Discovery. And every day I take the woman through a process.
Mm-hmm.
And on one of the days, I tell her, find five things that you love about yourself that has nothing to do with how you look.
Yeah.
And yeah. I have had so many women struggle because everything they think about is how they look. You know, are you a good friend? I mean, do you keep your promises to your friend? Because to me, a woman is one that keeps her word.
Yeah.
You know, do you follow through when you set goals for yourself? Do you hold yourself accountable?
Yeah.
Because a woman keeps herself accountable and it's okay to say, you know what? I need help with getting here.
Sure.
A woman asks for help. Asking for help is a sign of strength, not a sign of weakness.
Yeah.
We've got to reprogram what we've been taught.
Yeah.
Because we've been taught the wrong things.
I agree. It's also okay to change your mind.
Oh gosh.
I think that's one of the big
the
things that, yeah. But you know, when I first started out with the kids, it was like, okay, pick an activity and then stick with it, you know? And you want to teach them to stick with it because they've made a commitment and stuff. But then you find some things as they go through this creative process. And I'm thinking, well, I change my mind all the time.
Yeah.
I should probably make it okay for them to change
That's
theirs
right.
too. So,
and I think that gives not just girls, but we are talking about women and girls.
Sure.
I have a niece. She's 10 now. But at the time, she was 6 years old. My older sister and her would fight all the time about what she was going to wear
mm-hmm.
because she was very independent and wanted to pick out her own clothes. So I told my sister, look, she's looking for autonomy. She wants to feel good about herself.
Yeah.
You pick out three outfits and allow her to choose from those three outfits. So what that does was it created boundaries because our girls need boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
But within that boundary, it gave her the freedom to say, I chose my own outfit.
Yeah.
So now what we're doing as young girls, we're giving them the creative process of thinking for themselves.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
It is.
They're smart.
It's very
you know?
Empowering.
But we have to, inside of our homes, create that learning environment and using something as what we think is simple as picking out clothes. No, because when she grows older and she's got options for a job, she has that critical thinking. She can look at the three jobs and say, well, this offers this, this offers that. And this same thing with the clothes.
Yeah.
This is pink. This is red. But I like this one better. It develops their critical thinking skills early.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I know you have a website and you have all kinds of good stuff where we need
stuff.
To send people to. There is a lot to Action Jackson that we just can't cover in all the radio. So let's send them to it. What is it?
Absolutely. The website is LetitiaActionJackson.com. I actually have a couple of more books that I released this year. One's called...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You got bored and had nothing else to do?
I was so bored, Keith. I just thought I'd write two more books.
Yeah, well, good for you.
The next book is called Yes, Women Lift. It's a woman's guide to lifting weights and feeling great. And then I also have another book coming out next month, which is called Changing the Norm. And this book really focuses on changing the social and behavior aspects of the culture of African-American women to address obesity. So I am all about girl and woman power. I mean, I just think it's amazing.
Do you know Robin Richard?
I do know Robin Richard.
I don't know if she was back in town. I was going to take you upstairs and introduce you because you and her would hit it off perfect.
Yes. I actually had the opportunity to speak at the Pensacola Network
last
January.
Good.
Robin is just, she's one of those women too, who is really about communications mm-hmm. within the community and, connecting women.
Yeah.
And I think it's a blessing to cross paths with other women that aren't only looking at themselves, but are looking at how they can take their skills and connect with others.
Yeah.
So I know her. Yes. And we've connected before.
Good.
So, but what I was sharing with you, Keith, and anyone out there that's listening, I am really, really focused on bringing this message to high schools, middle schools. I've created what's called Mother Speaks and Daughter Listens. And that is a one-day workshop where I really work with moms and daughters and really focusing on the mother and her language and what she says to her daughter about her daughter. Also, research shows that the media has a lot of influence on a girl's body image, but a mother has more influence.
Oh, so, absolutely.
So
I would totally agree with that.
Yes. If you're interested, go to my website at LetitiaActionJackson.com. There's a contact me form. We've got to start talking. We can't just address. I mean, we often talk, but we never provide solutions. I don't want to talk about the problem anymore. Mm-hmm. I want to find solutions yeah. for it.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, totally.
I was going to ask you what's next, but I think you covered it. So, okay. So if anybody wants to see you down at the Power of E3, you guys can check it out on the website at powerofeandthenumber3.com. You can call 437-3127, area code 850, and get your tickets or all of your information. I do know that, a lot of this goes to Sacred Heart.
Yes.
Yep. Tons of sponsors, but Sacred Heart ends up getting a lot of this funding from it.
This is actually, outside of just empowering women in the community, this is about all the funds raised are going to go for women that can't afford healthcare.
Yeah.
So going back to being that champion for women, there's women out there now that, don't have coverage to get mammograms or maybe pap smears. And ladies, this is totally off topic, but it's still on topic. Cervical cancer is something we don't talk about often, but make sure you're staying on top of your women's health, with your OBGYN, and really making time for yourself. Cervical cancer is an aggressive cancer. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, it does not get as much sponsorship and a lot of other acknowledgement as breast cancer, mm-hmm. but it's still an aggressive cancer. So this event is about really taking those funds and helping women in the community that need those preventative services.
Yeah.
Early detection is the key.
Yeah.
If they catch it early, they can give you medication and hopefully save your life.
Yeah. So we had Dr. Bush in here not too long ago, and I think mm-hmm. she's speaking, but she also delivered my children, or she delivered Kai. She was the doctor on the other one, but by then she'd stopped the OBGYN stuff. But she was talking about a lot of that, just the women's health in general and how much of it doesn't get discussed.
That's right.
And I know we're men and we're guilty of the exact same. So mm-hmm. That is not just sex specific. I mean,
right.
There are just things that just need to be talked about that don't get talked about.
That's right.
It just happens.
And I think, Keith, we're so conditioned just to get up every day and we all live our individual lives. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things where if it's not discussed in my world, I really don't think it yeah. affects me.
Yeah.
But cancer affects men and women. I had a 37-year-old cousin that died of colon cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you know anything about the health field, screenings normally don't happen until you're in your 50s and above.
Mm-hmm.
So know your body. And if you notice there's anything going on with your body, you are your own health advocate. Go to the doctor. If you don't have medical coverage, call the health department. Mm-hmm. You have to listen to your body. It will save your life.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just a side note because, you know, I am in the health field.
That's it. But you know, but I mean, you and you see that every day, and I can imagine that you tell clients that all the time, and they're like, you know, some of them don't go on a regular basis or don't think to, you know, oh, it's just a cold and I'll be okay. But then, you know, these are how yeah. things get prevented.
Yeah, and it's March, and last month was Heart Disease Awareness Month.
Yeah,
and heart disease for many years was considered a man's disease.
Mm-hmm.
And when women would go to the hospital, they were often undiagnosed because they were not really aware of the signs. But women are 1 in 3. I mean, it's the number one killer of women. And the third killer of most people is stroke.
Yeah.
So women are stressed. You know, we're trying to be mothers and we're trying to be caretakers.
Yeah.
And we do. We have this multitask mentality. And I just wrote an article for the Powerful Women of Gulf Coast called Superwoman Isn't Your Name. Take your cape off. I mean, come on, Keith.
No, that's a great title.
I'm just like, get yeah. over it. Because if we're honest, we feel like we have something to prove.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Stop. You have nothing to prove to anyone.
Yeah.
Be your own best friend and prove to yourself that you're worth loving. Go out and go for a walk for 30 minutes. Turn your phone off. The world will go on without
you. Shut the computer down.
Shut it down.
I hear you.
Step away.
I hear you.
But I do believe it all goes back to valuing yourself.
Yeah.
I turn my phone off for 2 hours. When I go to the gym, everyone knows my loved ones, my significant other, this is my time. And they respect that because I set the boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Not because they allow me to do it. I set the boundaries. Ladies, set boundaries. Don't make time for yourself. Take time for yourself. You know? And take is such an aggressive word. And as women, we're like, well, I don't want to take time. Okay, if you don't take it now, you'll take it when you're sick.
So there are two things I always say. One, if you don't toot your own horn, nobody else is going
to. Oh, toot, toot.
Number two, if you don't go out there and get it,
nobody's
going to give it to
you. That's right.
So go get it.
Go. Yes.
Go get it. So that's
yes.
it. So, okay, did we miss anything? I mean, I know we could go on for hours, but we're kind of getting to the end of our slot here.
We are. I just want to, once again, there's amazing resources at my website. I want you guys to contact me. I'm always looking for opportunities to speak at, whether it's a church or it's a school. I'm tooting my own horn. I am a very passionate, dynamic speaker. And anyone that's ever heard me speak, I believe that healing happens in transparency. So if you're looking for someone to bring truth, but also bring the skill sets and the knowledge for women and young girls, contact me once again at LetitiaActionJackson.com. There's a contact me form. Fill out the information and we'll get in contact with you.
Awesome.
And I thank you, Keith. You're awesome.
I'm so glad you came in today. This just made my Monday. I'm telling you. So, okay, you guys, so you can find us at P-Cola Radio X. You can find us on Facebook at P-Cola BRX, or you can find us on our website at pensacola.businessradiox.com.
Yes, and I wanted to mention my social media handles.
Yeah, go for it.
I'm on Facebook at Letitia Jackson. You can find me on Twitter at ActionJacksonPT, Instagram at ActionJacksonPT, and Pinterest at ActionJacksonPT.
And we'll share all those on our website when we repost this interview today. So
do something healthy for yourself today, guys. You're worth it. And find purpose. That's what life is all about.
Turn your cell phone off.
Turn them cell phones off. Family time.
That's it. So, well, thank you for coming out today.
Thank you for having me.
All right, you guys, this has been Pensacola Business Radio. We hope you tune in tomorrow. We've got a couple more shows for you. But this has been Pensacola Business Radio, where business is good and your work matters.